I like that you say finagle.
Yeah, I'm a chronic finagler, actually. It's a problem.
Notorious
finagler. Oh. Is that your white nerdy rapper name?
Yeah.
The Notorious Finagler.
Actually, yeah. That's what they called me in high school, and it just kind of stuck. It's a fun episode of the Wild Out of the World podcast. I'm only one of your hosts. I'm Michael.
Aren't they all fun episodes? This is Steve, by the way.
They're fun episodes, but they're not always fun guy episodes.
Ooh.
And today we have a fun guest with us. He's Alan Davies from Nashville, Tennessee, the Fungus Ranch, Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for joining us today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I am happy to be here. Bring a little fungi festivities to the situation.
Yeah, you got a lot going on. And I mean, just off the bat, I've seen so much like really cool stuff on your Instagram stories where you ferment a lot of mushrooms and like you're trying to like extract these liquids out of them. And it's doing super fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I try to do a lot. I mean, I'm always trying to make things. Early in my career, I would like just making all the things, but it's been a challenge. And as I continue on to like be very intentional about what I do, and like not whether it's stuff we cultivate, stuff we get from our partner farms, or like stuff that we go and forage, it's all like that's been the big mental flex that I like enjoy the most, is like kind of trying to think about how to keep things reasonable, manageable, but also like economically viable.
Yeah.
And it's been fun, man. We do some cool stuff, and I've gotten the chance to work with cool people. I've learned from a lot of cool people too. So it's exciting.
There's just so many different avenues you can go down. It can be a challenge to keep yourself like focused. And there's just, man, like just doing this podcast for us, like we have like hot sauce, you know, merch, that, you know, all this other stuff. And plus we want to find all these cool people to talk to, you know? So I totally get it with when you have so many things, and it seems just from talking to you for a couple minutes before we started recording, it seems like you're like a man of many, many hats, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. And I wouldn't call myself a kind of Renaissance man. I guess, I don't know. I do lots of things. Like, I guess we talked about doing some origin stuff. I mean, I got to Nashville in 2013 when, like, or not 2013, 2010. Jeez. Time dilation is not my strong suit.
Oh, well, it's happening to all of us, man.
Blame that. I blame it on the mushrooms. It's accelerated my lack of perception of the real reality, if you know what I mean. I got to Nashville in 2010, and I moved here to go to school and like do music industry stuff. And like we were nerding out about like podcast gear beforehand. It's like I made records for like 10 years. And
nice.
Was all the time I was always like a chef. So like, because you don't make money in the music industry. Fun fact, if you didn't already know that.
Oh, yeah.
So I always had like chefing jobs, or was always in like in another food service. I was like a barista, and then like eventually wound up in food trucking for a while, and then in restaurants, and then back to food trucking. And like so that was the avenue in which I got into like the mushroom realm. You know, obviously, if anybody's into fermentation, like they know the Noma Guide to Fermentation by David Silver and Rene Redzepi, which is a great book. I mean, not to be a super weeb, but I mean, it's a great book, dude. It's like, it's very comprehensive, super informative. And actually, a good friend of ours, a lot of people we know now are network, Jason White, Microbes Vibes on Instagram, formerly Team Silent. He was a huge contributor to that. And like, as I was learning and meeting people like Wade Fox Among Bears and Will Michael Symbiote, like kind of just seeing all these guys doing these things kind of, and it just inspired me a lot. And I just like fell like ADHD neurodivergent hole, like read the book like 70 times, like not 70, but like lots of times, and just got a really great opportunity after, you know, bouncing around doing the restaurant thing. I worked for this company out in Bell's Bend, which is just this agriculture preservation corridor out in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of farms and stuff. So they had a farm and a restaurant, and I fermented as much food trash as possibly could. Like, you know, I the trash man, you know, because food waste sucks is like a big thing I say all the time. So that was like a big thing. I did that for a long time, right up until the pandemic. And like right before COVID hit in like February of 2020, I went from working at that restaurant to running a mushroom farm for the same company. And they're out there near, and it was really cool. Yeah, we were able to do a lot of like, I basically spent like most of 2020 just by myself, me and my buddy Johnny, who works with me at the Fungus Ranch. He's kind of like our operations guy and like just makes everything happen and takes care of the mushrooms. We ran this like 1,000-pound a week farm for 7-8 months, making all the blocks by hand.
Nice.
Like, super fun experience. Yeah, it was great. We learned a lot there. And like, we were out there near a bunch of parks that had great foraging. So yeah, we just dove into this mushroom thing, and like all that kind of permeated. Like, I just seemed like this creative goofball who was like, you know, to like write like 100, 200 songs a year. If I needed like a creative outlet when I stopped doing music. So the big one was just like chasing, like we talked about, was chasing this ideal of like food waste sucks. Cause like, food is sacred. Food is medicine. Food is cultivated by hardworking hands. And like, I just always saw it as like, anytime you're throwing food away, it's just like a travesty.
Yeah.
So that whole process just kind of got me to where we are now. And then has then teed up a lot of other fun stuff that we're doing going forward. So that's a little bit of how I got here. So I'm an open book, guys. Talk to me.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, we love to hear about like reclaiming food waste and all that, because you think about it, like historically, like never in history have we ever been so comfortable to be able to just like toss most of this stuff away. I feel like most of the time, most of human history, we've been using that. We've been consuming all these auxiliary parts of animals or plants or fungus, which still have incredible nutritional application and use, and delicious too. You know, how many stories do we have of basically rags to riches ingredients like lobster or other stuff like that? That's just like
oysters. Now, oysters was a food of poverty. You know, poverty stricken. Yeah, it came out of like the. Yeah, exactly. It's a huge thing.
So usually what we like to do, we'll kind of curve back to what you're doing now, but we definitely love to ask everybody that is even adjacently kind of like associated with foraging, do you have like a first memory of what you foraged, the first thing you ever remember foraging?
Oh, yeah, it was sumac. I'm a slut for sumac.
Oh, yes.
Who isn't, man?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Staghorn sumac. It's all over Middle Tennessee, and it grows like a weed. There's like 6 or 7 groves around the Metro Nashville area that I just kind of go to and grab like as many staghorns as I can every year. And yeah, like as soon as you ask me, I'm like, I guess sumac.
Nice.
It's this beautiful floral flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like making vinegar with it.
Hell yeah.
Like I'll go and pull the staghorns off and then wait until, you know, it's normally like August in Tennessee when I can get them. Cause like they'll start popping, you know, in the mid to late summer when it's hot, but you gotta let them get to like that end of the month,
exactly.
End of the summer vibes, like August, early September when it's still hot. Otherwise they're actually poisonous. Like you can like get massive gastrointestinal distress. If it's like, you know, still green in the middle, you want to wait till they're dried out. But I've seen your video of you licking the sumac, because that's the smooth sumac with like the little green branches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But ours are like fuzzy. They look like giant weed.
Yeah, we have both around here.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, that's mine, dude. I love them. It's such a thing. There was a big grove of sumac. It was along the highway going out to the farm where I used to work. So like every day I go out there and I'd see them. And then I actually saw Alexis, Black Forager, on Instagram. She posted a video about staghorn and sumac, and she's hilarious. I love her. I've learned a lot, actually, from watching her content. And I was like, wait, I've seen that thing. And then I went over there, and I asked Wade about it. And he was like, oh, yeah, dude, we should do this. So, of course,
I just fell
in love with sumac. Yeah. So I took Koji with it. I was like, of course I'm going to put Koji with it.
Obviously.
So, the move has always been, I've grown the Aspergillus lucensis, which is that brown variety of koji that produces citric acid. And with the the sumac being so laden with malic acid and those other like floral terpenes and aromas and stuff, it went together super well. So like then the enzymes from the koji as well would kind of like help extract and pull a lot of that goodness of the sumac out into this liquid. Then, you know, and then I would basically pull out all the cones, add sugar, and then make amazake, which basically is like a rice, fermented rice beverage, strain that. And then the project that I have rolling this year, and I think I'm going to, I might put some, I'm probably going to bring some for sale at the Colorado Essence Festival.
Nice, Labor Day weekend
in Loveland, Colorado, provided or put on by Osea Labs. We're going to be out there doing like a bunch of cool stuff with a couple of cool people. So I'm going to bring bottles of this. It's definitely one of the things we're going to bring. It's like awesome. 2 year sumac vinegar. So I like made sumac.
It sounds super punchy. Yeah.
Oh, you know? Dude, it's nuts. I made it 1 year and then had it sitting around and like just didn't know what to do with it yet. And then I went and got another year's worth. Like I'm talking like 20 pounds of sumac, right?
Oh, no.
And then I just strained that. I like bubbled that through. Infuse it all back into that already sumac vinegar, so it's like this really potent concentrate now.
It sounds like it, man.
And it's so floral and so red and so beautiful. Yeah, it's great. Sumac.
Tell us a little bit more about this festival that you're putting on, or that you're participating on, or
I'm gonna be. Yeah, we're kind of co-presenting, kind of like we're like it's a group of like six of us that have all come together through. Which that's another thing it's definitely want to put on blast. If you're interested in any sort of things, fermentation, foraging, koji, anything in that realm, I can highly recommend. There's this chat. You can just look up Vox Among Bears. His name is Wade. He runs a chat group on Instagram called Fermentors. And it was actually just came out of that group. There's our friends, Will Padilla Brown from Michael Symbiotics, our friend Nick Prieto from Red Flower Fungi, and Sol Mushrooms, S-O-L, Sol, como dice sun in Espanol, in Miami, Florida. We got our friend Hari Cameron. He's a James Beard award-winning chef, travels all over the place, does lots of curated culinary events. He's going to be there doing some classes and presentations, and then Wade will be there, and then I will be there. And we're going to have like workshops on a variety of things. Will's going to get up and talk about truffles and mushrooms. And I mean, everything that guy says is gold and wonderful to listen to. Hari's going to do some culinary demos. Nick's going to do some culinary demos. Wade's going to teach about koji and his koji fertilizer stuff and like introduction to koji. And then I'm going to be leading a panel with these guys and some of our other contributors to the conference just on food waste reclamation in food-based businesses. And then we'll also do a little functional mushroom integration workshop. So like, hey, how do I get functional mushrooms into my diet?
Sure.
These ways, you know? So that's what we're doing, and it's kind of an event that's going to be focused on truffles out there a little bit, but all things kind of essence of Colorado, because Osea Labs makes a CO2 extractor, which Osea means the essence of in Latin. So it's just kind of celebrating like what's going on in Middle Colorado, like out there, partnering with this local brewery, Grimm Brothers Brewing, to kind of like do some food options. It's going to be really fun.
This sounds fucking nuts. All of this came from fermenters? Cool.
Yeah, this is something that came out of the fermenter.
That's
group.
Crazy. Yeah. Michael and I were talking about
we were
how
we were both in that group too.
Yeah, we talk about how like we have to visit it with like caution because everything's so like way above our fucking heads. But it's so entertaining it's great, at the same time. But it's so entertaining.
Yeah, it's equal parts shit talking, shit posting, education.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's a great thing. So yeah, definitely, I'm glad that you guys are involved in that too. It's a huge educational resource. There's people all over the world. So
yeah.
The festival is going to be fun. You can like go on Instagram, my Instagram, or any of the guys I just mentioned. We've got ways to find it. Tickets are on sale right now.
Yeah, I'm going to check that shit out for sure.
So that's super cool. So yeah, enough of the shameless plugging.
Wild Edible World Podcast on the road. Road trip to Colorado.
Let's do it.
If you guys came out, hours. We could totally do like some live
that'd be awesome
interviews. That would be sick. If you wanted to, let me know. We'll make it. I could put you in touch.
And we'll definitely look into it.
It's in May. It's a little quick, but we'll see. We'll have a chat.
We'll have a little chat.
What happens?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So You manage or co-own the Fungus Ranch in Nashville. So, and that you deal through that, you deal with like a lot of food waste reclamation or prevention, or you tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of multifaceted business. Like I said, we started off just like doing culinary mushroom sales, growing them on our farm, which I started in my garage. And eventually over the last almost 3 years now, we've just like from not only our farm, but we've kind of built this like co-op, I think you call it co-op, just like a bunch of homies of mine who grow good shit, you know, and I make sure that like, and because of being a chef and in restaurants, I've got a lot of ties and know how to talk to chefs and know what they need. And I know mushroom farmers aren't always, you know, we're a bunch of weird guys, you know, so it's sometimes going into restaurants sucks. So I try to like always help out my homies and like make sure I'm just getting my chefs the best mushrooms that they can.
Yeah.
That's a big part of our business. And yeah, also we've got, you know, we're building products and R&Ding stuff to get into the functional realm, you know, messing around with like lion's mane and reishis and cordyceps and gummies, drinks, you know, all that jazz. But that's not, I didn't talk about that. but no, the big part of like the big, like, core thing of what we're doing right now is we're just, again, it's getting the best mushrooms into people's hands, but like, also making sure that we don't throw anything away. Zero. Absolutely zero. Like we, you know, I'm even like trying to find ways to reuse our grow bags.
Nice.
So the big thing that came out of that is, like I said, you know, me and Johnny, when we worked for, I'm not going to say the name of the farm out of professional courtesy, but when we worked for this bigger farm out in, out near Ashland City in Tennessee, like there was a lot of waste there. It was kind of some, people had some money, and they saw a mushroom prospectus, which happens a lot. And they think, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. But it's like, well, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work working on a mushroom farm. And then it's working in agriculture, period, is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's hard work. And until you've done it, you don't understand it. So we unfortunately did, towards the end of our tenure there, you know, we had some waste. We did, you know, we did a really good job of making sure to donate as much as we could. But you know, there was always some stuff. Of course, we composted like crazy and fed the terrestrial farm across the street, which that soil was great and it really needed that remediation. So it all went into something.
Sure.
But I was like, man, we got there's got to be something. And even when I was there working for them, I'm like, there's got to be something that's really easy and not going to like break your back to make happen, to keep the food out of the trash. And that's kind of like this, what came out of that is like, we tried the salts and the fermenting salts and all that stuff. And that's cool and super delicious. It's labor intensive. And like being economically viable and also like temporally viable is very important, because it's like, you don't want to work until you're dead.
Yeah.
You want to like be able to spend time with your family. Cause it's like, why are you doing this if not to spend time with your family? That's an incredibly important thing, or to be able to spend time in nature, or to put time into things beyond just work. And what came out of that was this thing, that a project that kind of evolved, that now you can actually get it on the Mycosymbiotics web store. It's a mushroom umami sauce.
Yeah, so I was just cool looking at that.
Yeah. Ask, what do you think? What do you want to know about it?
Well, it just looks delicious. And like, what kind of, awesome. I mean, well, first of all, can we do a trade is what I want to know.
Yeah, totally.
And then second of all, what kind of like, is it a broad spectrum of mushrooms that you guys use? Or, I mean,
It's a combination of mushrooms that we grow on our farm, as well as like, you know, leftover mushrooms that have come from the Mycosymbiotics farming operations. We basically just hang on to them, dry them, freeze them until we have a fair amount. And then what I'm doing with that is I'm combining it with salt, water, and koji. And koji, for those of people who don't know, koji is the like kind of colloquial name in Japan for a fungus called, and a subset of other like kind of mutations of Aspergillus oryzae. It's like a myceliating fungus that traditionally is grown on rice, and it's used as making, you know, it provides the base, you know, catalyst for sake and miso and soy sauce and pretty much anything fermented from the East. It's got some sort of koji enzymes involved. And those enzymes are what the fungus uses to eat the rice to kind of live, right? Mm-hmm. And then after the rice, the koji fungus dies, those enzymes are still there. They're not like living compounds. They are just like, they're things that are, you know, they act and they're bioactive without like a living organism. So we harness those enzymes to basically be a fermentation catalyst.
Sure.
And in the instance of, you know, in sake, you know, it breaks down the starches into sugars that can be prevented by the yeast into alcohol. You know, in miso, it's, you know, doing some sort of long-term Maillard reaction. And that's kind of similar to what we do when we're making the umami sauce. I do all of those things, combine them, put them in a bucket, and we hold them at 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Nice. And those enzymes break down the complex carbon bonds in the mushrooms and the rice and the and everything to create umami. Basically, umami tastes good because it's an easily accessible nutrient. And your body will tell you, this is good for me.
Yeah,
it tastes good. I can access these nutrients readily availably. So it, our body tells us this tastes good.
Yeah.
So that's where umami comes from.
Sure.
So basically it takes us like 6 weeks. I hold it essentially in an oven. Not an oven. It's like an old, we use like an old, like insulated chamber that we just hold at this temperature, pushes the enzymes to do the thing. And it also does some mild caramelization of sugars and just makes this really delicious sauce. It's similar to soy sauce. Currently we use barley and rice koji because like it was just easier for me to grow on the barley rice combination for a while because of our climate. But I'm switching it over to just like a gluten-free version. So our next batch is going to be all gluten-free.
Oh, nice.
Really
oh,
cool.
Wow, that's badass.
Cool. It's like, yeah. It's like a thing you can use to make vinaigrettes. Any way you would use soy sauce, you can use this, but it's got no soy in it. Cause
that's fucking great.
We all know how bad soy can be for
you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who are trying to limit their intake. So this is another like really great alternative.
Sure.
And yeah, it slaps. Awesome. It's delicious. It's
oh, dude, I'm
fantastic.
So excited to try
I've
it.
I've never given it to anybody and had anyone be say anything less than, wow, this is awesome. Not one, this sucks. Zero.
Nice.
It doesn't suck at all.
0% suck. You should put that on the bottle.
Yeah.
So
Food Waste sucks. This sauce doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. You put that on a fucking t-shirt. Look at this guy just coming up with t-shirt ideas.
Full of them.
So do you think it was mushrooms that brought you to food or food that brought you to mushrooms as far as like your chefy type stuff?
Oh, it was definitely backing in. Like I got into it because of being a chef.
Nice.
And yeah, it definitely because of the chef thing. Cause like I always was fascinated by mushrooms.
Sure.
Cause like even growing up in Florida, it's like we have the vomiters that grow out of our grass down there.
Yeah.
Those like nasty ones with the veil and all that little crinkly tops.
Sure.
Don't eat them. You will vomit.
Yeah.
So, but no, I always thought they were crazy and cool. So it's like there's always this kind of like, you know, interesting thing there. And then when I got this like fermentation, a lot of those disciplines, like the cleanliness, the standard operating procedures,
sure.
Attention to detail, a lot of those things, especially growing koji. It's just they're cousins.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I kind of backed in via being a chef. Like
nice.
I wouldn't have probably gotten to the mushroom vibe other ways, but it's been really great too, because like being a chef and understanding like how to prep, how to mise en place things, how
exactly.
to put everything together and do large volume things in mass was like a huge asset. Because like when we were running this farm, me and my buddy Johnny, like we were doing, like I said, anywhere between 750 to 1,000 pounds a week. That means running like a few hundred blocks a week, and we
yeah,
were
that
like
sounds
28
insane.
Blocks at a time. Yeah, it was a lot of work. But we were crushing it. But because he and I are badass chefs and like knew how to just like put on an anime show
sure.
and just crush out a bunch of prep, we did it. And that's a lot of what it is.
I like it.
That is meat like, as fuck.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Like I will watch One Piece and Laugh at Monkey D. Luffy and make a bunch of mushroom blocks. Yeah.
Literally. That's awesome. Literally. Wow.
Yeah.
About like waste and big money mushroom, big mushroom that you say they're what are we wasting here? Like what do you consider the waste whenever like what are you saying that you were that was distressing?
Well, just in general, restaurants waste a lot.
So just in like trimming the mushrooms, like the stems off and stuff, or?
Well, I mean, in trim, in just overages, overgrowing, like, you know, most mushroom businesses nowadays good mushroom businesses have found ways to add these value adds at small scales, right? But a
sure.
lot of things that have been, a bit of a barrier to entry for some of these larger or smaller businesses is how do they like navigate the, like, how do I do this and not have a bunch of stuff to do, right? Like all the time. And like, you know, there's all these value added options. It's just kind of figuring out which one works best. Because no matter what, especially in mushrooms, you're always going to have extra. Like if you're doing your job right, you're going to have extra. Because like if you got to, you know, say you got to order, you got an order for, you know, 200 pounds a week that you're growing for various restaurants. Like you're still, you're probably growing 250 pounds a week in case, you know, sometimes, you know, oh, well, this block didn't produce. Sometimes you just get mushrooms that just don't produce. Sometimes there's, you know, hazard prevention, if you will. You know, you got to hedge your bets. So the larger you get, and if you don't plan it from the beginning, and like when we're talking about big mushroom here, it's like, I mean, just in the last 3 years, I've seen three big places like this of different, completely unassociated with one another. It's just because it's a hip and cool new thing. It's like you've got, you know, Wall Street doofuses or people who just, you know, have a lot, have more money than sense, I guess, who like I said, looking at a mushroom prospectus and think that it's a good idea. And they just like, oh, let's just grow a bunch of mushrooms and we'll sell them to Whole Foods, or we'll sell them to, you know, this or that, or, you know, we'll build mushroom containers and we'll sell those. And they'll be like, yeah, cool. But it's like, do people need that? Yeah. And I think it's like, a lot of the people that I'm trying to like spend time with, and why I love working with Wade, why I love working with Will, why I love working with, you know, James over at Performance Fungi, and a lot of these like other, you know, Roger Holden with Fruiting Bodies, like a lot of these guys who are doing really, really good shit. They're looking at like, what do people actually need versus like, what it do, you know, is going to make me the most net monies. Cause that's the pitfall of big mushroom, is going after the money instead of filling a need. Because mushrooms are medicine. Like, it's not a commodity. It's something that can like heal people, and filling the need is always going to be better than trying to sell something to someone that they don't really know anything about. And the future, I think, for mushroom industry, at least in this country, is that niching down. Because you're going to have the big mushroom people are going to get crappy mushroom powder from China, and they're going to come up with a bunch of defenses for it as to why it's the right idea, and why blah blah blah, and why it in America isn't economically viable. Sorry, fuck you. Like, no, why would you do that? You're the people who should be leading the charge and say like, America, let's do it here, let's lift up this community in this country. You know, yes, a lot of our technology comes from China. Yes, there's a whole bunch of research and history there, but there are ways to do it economically viably here. And I've seen so much more small business owners really have success doing it on the smaller scale, because it's relationship based. And that just leads to better education and people having a better understanding of what they're putting in their bodies.
Yeah,
and
better education is right. Yeah, it's so important. Yeah. I mean, I think if anybody listening to this show doesn't know, you know, a lot of these major mushroom purveyors say, like, you know, whether it's, if it's in capsule form or, you know, in some way wellness related, a lot of that stuff is myceliated grain, which, you know, you're just taking, you know, you're taking wood pills, essentially.
Yeah, it's,
you
like
know?
The LaCroix, like, of mushrooms, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The mushrooms are yelling from the other room. You're not actually ingesting any.
Yeah, so. And that can affect your efficacy, and that can affect your dosing. And I always kind of have, like, there's a lot of people who have the argument of, oh, well, the grain becomes the mushroom. And it's like, okay, to a degree, yes, some of the proteins are digested. Yes, some of the inflammatory compounds are digested and less inflammatory. Yes, but they're still there. Like, I work with koji. I know what mycelium grain is. It's like when I use koji in something, it's like I put rice in it. Yeah. It's got starch. It doesn't just go away.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so that's important to know. And it's like, you got good, great, really great companies too, like Fruiting, Fresh Cat, Tony and that crew over there. They do all Fruiting Body in the United States.
Well, I mean, shout out sponsor of the show, Keweenaw Apothecary, up in the UP, Michigan. They use all Fruiting Body. I mean, that is a huge point of contention with a lot of purveyors nowadays.
Sigh.
What's wrong, buddy?
Well, I just realized this mushroom supplement I bought isn't actually made with mushrooms. It's made with something called myceliated grain?
Myceliated grain?
Oh, no!
I'm sorry to tell you, buddy, but myceliated grain is a sure sign of a poor quality mushroom supplement.
Well, dang. I wanted mushrooms, not brown rice. What should I do?
Well, you should support a small batch producer from right here in the Midwest. Keweenaw Apothecary.
Keweenaw Apothecary? Tell me more.
Keweenaw Apothecary specializes in high-quality mushroom extracts from Michigan, and they always use real mushrooms, never, never, never myceliated grain.
That sounds like exactly what I've been looking for. Where can I order?
Well, you can find them at keweenawapothecary.etsy.com. That's K-E-W-E-E-N-A-W apothecary.etsy.com. Be sure to read their many excellent reviews.
Thanks, buddy. I don't want no low-quality mushroom products from a factory. I want Keweenaw Apothecary.
Wowie wow!
Wowie wow! We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's gonna be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit, you're
welcome to the club.
Welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com.
Wowie wow!
And it's like, there is scientific fact, like for lion's mane, for instance, there are higher amounts of aranacines, which is that bioactive compound that you're wanting to go that will help induce the neurogrowth factor and the neurogenesis, the aranacines. Mm-hmm. There are higher amounts of those in lion's mane mycelium. But there are ways to grow lion's mane mycelium without growing it on rice. Just grow it in a lower oxygen environment, it'll grow in the air.
Sure.
So there's innovative ways to do that. And that idea right there, that came from a local buddy of mine. Like, he makes his own tinctures, and he and his wife have their little thing, and they do like their small operation in there. They kill it. They do a great job, and their products work and are really great. So it's like, there's a lot of these small guys doing really good innovation, and it's like, it's just as important. So it's always, and that's again, I love Will for this too, because he's like, we're trying to put ourselves in this place where we have the ability to like help facilitate these small businesses to have SOPs and ways of doing things that are like standardized. Cause it's like, how many people you know who are trying to stand up a tincture business? It's really hard. Mm-hmm. Even if you, unless you have a lot of resource, but like, man, if these little guys in all their small towns, like we gave them resource to like have like, oh, hey, access to this network. Oh, hey, access to this information. It's like, it's an open source thing. That's how we take on the big mushroom money and we edge them out on quality. Because as people get into mushrooms, like, cool, yeah, spend your millions of dollars. You teach people about mushrooms and do all the work. But then once they start figuring it out, they're going to come to me and my homies because they're going to realize your stuff sucks.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time, truly.
Yeah. More people know, the more it's like, it's a 5% business that we got to make appealing to 95% of the people. And that's coming because people are finding ways to put them in accessible packaging, put them in ways that people understand. That's why the mushroom sauce makes sense. Like, why do people care about food waste? Like you said, 95% of people just throw away food all the damn time and don't care. But, oh, soy sauce. I know soy sauce. Stir fry. Lit.
Hell yeah.
Sauce. Get my sushi in it. Awesome. You know, like, that's a great way. So it's ideas like that that get me really excited.
That's what
I'm
gonna
do. And then it's like, you put that into, like, the context of like foraging and stuff too. And it's, again, it's helping people. I'm chasing this mindset shift, right? Like,
yes.
Like food, there's like, I work with these guys in Nashville. They're called Maíz de la Vida. They are an heirloom Mexican corn concept.
Hell,
and like,
yes.
It's fucking great. If you're in Nashville, we'll go get tacos. It's the best tacos in the Southeast.
Oh yeah.
But I look and I learn about Mexican cuisine working with these guys. And it's like, they don't throw anything away. It's like, why do you think they eat ants and grasshoppers?
Yeah.
Not because they thought, oh, this might be good. It's because what was there.
Mm-hmm.
But like taking that mindset shift, and it's like in Spanish they say, it's like, no comida es basura como si tiene imagina, which is like, if you have, and no food is trash if you have imagination. So that's the thing I'm trying to get people on board with. Because like you do that, this backs you in. It just raises your level of thinking. It backs you into all this other stuff that's really important, like your ingredients in your food, the sources of your food, where they came from, who grew them. And it just, it's like a gateway drug.
Absolutely. Yeah. And everybody's got a different drug. You know, some people it's mushrooms. Some people it's, yeah, a soy sauce that you just happened, or a umami sauce that you happen to find from somebody that you know, or, you know, a foraging podcast.
That has a fucking amazing hot sauce. Two of those.
Amazing.
Okay, tell me about your hot sauce. What's your hot sauce game?
So right now, the one we have in stock is our fall edition. It's called Harvest Moon, and it's got it's a ghost pepper based hot sauce mixed with foraged by Steve and I spice bush and American persimmon.
That's super cool.
It's Did you forage the persimmon? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Dude, I had no idea persimmons even grew wild until like last year. Such a noob.
Oh, well, no, I mean it's part of this whole mind shift that you're even talking about. It's just a different part of that same coin, because there was like a viral video that went around a few month ago or so of this girl being like, "Tell me I'm not the only one who didn't realize the lemons you buy at the store are the same ones that grow on the trees." And it's like, yeah, everybody wants to make fun of her, but that's, I mean, you have no idea how many people agreed with that don't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to think. I mean, here's my tinfoil hat. The government makes it that way on purpose.
Of course.
Aliens, man.
No, but I mean, it is. No, it's a system of deceit and reliability. And mm-hmm. It's, you know, the real dumbing down of America. But it's this lost connection with food and nature that makes, I mean, it makes us easy prey. I mean, it's
this
easy.
I feel like this is something we could talk about for hours.
Yeah, this isn't Joe Rogan. No, this is just a foraging show.
It's not Joe Rogan. Yeah, we're not going to go down that.
But we could if we wanted to.
Well, yeah.
Oh, there's so much of that.
This is a gateway drug. This has come out to Nashville and, you know, roll a spliff with me and we'll talk, you know, let's 100%. come to Colorado and meet and hang out with us, you know, and we can talk about, you know, anyone, not just you guys, anybody, open invite, like come, if you're coming to town, let's hang out and talk about shit. You know, we're trying to do more and more events locally and regionally just to like, yeah, get out there and be in front of people and like help give them the gateway drug. Like, you know, whether it's a mushroom, you know, product that you take and you're like, oh my God, this makes me feel something, mm-hmm. and I feel more energy, I feel more focused.
Sure.
Or it's a sauce that's like, wow, this is delicious and this is made from trash. Okay.
Right.
You know, those types of things. So we're trying to do more stuff like that. So anybody wants to do stuff, hit us up. We're down. We'll make it happen.
It's awesome, man.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I love this message, man, because it's teaching. I mean, I feel like just with like the lemon example that you said, a lot of it's just people with a veil, you know, and mm-hmm. once you lift that veil, mm-hmm. there's a fucking world of cool shit, you know, and at very least, like the footsteps you're taking towards like, you know, use or minimalizing food waste and things like that. Like at very least, you're getting the message out there, you know, and people are mm-hmm. listening to this and maybe thinking about something that they never thought before. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, maybe instead of those, you know, throwing my orange peel in the fucking garbage, I can, you know, candy the rind or, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
like
even
just a small thing.
Even
like
if
that.
Even if it's just you put a compost pile.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you get one of those like turners. Even that. It's like, because like, cool, once you start composting, you're gonna want to grow something. Even if you're just like growing mint. Yeah. Like those little things, it's a gateway drug. Mm-hmm. It changes the way that you think about your place in the world, how you feed yourself, what you feed your family. And like, that's more important. Like, agreed. There's a lot of other goals, but at the end of the day, it's like, we're chasing a mindset shift here. You know, it's like, we got to influence culture first.
Yeah. Like reclaiming that shit, because people used to think about that stuff all the time.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's not a single culture in human history that hasn't dealt with nature or been involved with, you know, the plants and had a relationship with the seasons and the plants that occur.
No, we're the first.
Them. We're the first ones that don't. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the dipshits.
It's
like Idiocracy.
You think about it, it's like, I mean, Will and I talked about this on a conversation we had on live a while back, and it's like, you look at people and it's like, they're, we've become so disconnected from nature.
Yes.
Like, no, like, you know, for the last like three generations, it's like, we've seen what happened when you eat processed food, stay inside, with air conditioning on, wear shoes and clothes every day, never go outside, eat processed food. What it happens, it leads to depression, anxiety, and cancer.
Yeah.
It's been borne out. Like, cancer rates and disease rates have gone up through the roof just because our food supply is poison.
Well, yeah, I mean, food supply is
easily controlled.
Yeah, like you said, from the sheer amount of time we spend inside alone, it like has huge amount of effects on our health.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Is like people like that, those are ideas that are hard for people to represent. They're going to like look at me like, ooh, you can use the theorists. Like, no, I'm just observing.
Oh, you want us to go out there and sun our buttholes, don't you? Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Take a step back. Oh,
but like, hey, you can sun your butthole if you want. You know, like we're not against that. Yeah.
We're not butthole sunning shaming here.
Yeah. Just while you're bending over, grab some of those fucking dandelion greens, you know? Like,
exactly. I almost posted this like kind of shit talking, not at anyone, but just a general like shit talking thing about dandelions, being like, fuck you, Monsanto, for making Roundup that kills these things and gives me cancer when this thing could prevent heart disease and prevent cancer. It's like, and they're delicious.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but no, that's the thing. It's like, these are tough concepts for normies to digest, right? But hey, drink this delicious thing, eat this delicious thing. That's the thing. Those are the ways that I think. There's a lot of people out there in the mushroom space doing great things, but it's like, I don't see a lot of people trying to do what I'm doing, which is like, hey, how do we convert the people? How do we get those 95% people? Yeah. Like, I got the 5% people. We're all here. Mm-hmm.
That's,
we know each other.
Yeah. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason Michael and I started doing this. Like, are we going to get famous? Probably fucking not, man. But we're spreading knowledge to at least our community. And hey, Joe Rogan, if you're listening to this, maybe you can have us on the podcast and we will get famous.
Yeah. No,
how fucked up would that be if he's just like scrolling podcasts? Like,
wow.
These dweebs, definitely not having them
on. There's people whose job that is. Who knows?
Yeah,
blow them up, find an email.
Right, pull it up, Jamie.
Yeah, come on. Oh, wait, we don't have one of those. I'm going to get one of those.
Oh my God. That's funny. Shoot, man. But this is super cool. I really enjoy talking to you guys.
Yeah,
is there anything else that we want to like dig into? I mean, what's something,
I mean,
what's
no, I'm,
cool in your world?
Just, we'll plug our stuff. Like, we got a cool, Midwest, I guess we have a panel coming up that we'll be hosting.
Yeah.
Steve and guest panelist, JB Douglas, who JB? We've interviewed before. He also does a Wild Grocery blog online. We're big fans of JB. They'll be hosting the podcast at the Midwest
Harvest Festival.
No,
Foragers
Gathering.
Damn, that's the other one. Sorry.
Harvest,
sorry,
led by Rachel of Will Forage for Food.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that. We'll be talking with Sam Thayer and Rachel and a bunch of the other like really cool educators that we have out there, all about sustainable food systems and like preventing food waste and land-based like food forests and stuff like that. So
yes,
we got that on the table. We're really excited about that. We're also sponsoring a farm concert, the Transformation, over in McHenry County, the Ramshackle Farm on March 30th. We'll be hanging out there. I'll be there representing. Steve's got it's an Easter weekend, which I was kind of surprised about, but. Okay, but that's enough about us for now. What is the most? What are you looking forward to? Probably foraging next.
Oh man, yeah. Wade and I are just gonna go get lost in the woods, man. I mean, I just want to get in the woods more. Like this.
Yeah, hell yeah.
This last year was really tough on me, on a lot of ways. But like being able to, just the few times I've been able to like get outside and do things like that have been so life giving. And just in general, man, I'm not even looking for one in particular thing. It's like, obviously, man, I want to go out and find some chickens like I did last fall. That's always great.
Oh yeah, chicken of the woods.
But yeah, there's a good trail down like about an hour and a half south of here that we found like 10 pounds in the woods one day. And it was absolutely fantastic. And they've got a lot of those resinous polypores, pork of the woods that are super cool.
Nice.
Yeah, dude, they're fantastic and very, very delicious. But like, man, dude, it's just like, I just want to get in the woods more. Like,
it's my medicine, man.
See more mushrooms, and yeah, it really is.
I feel stressed out when I don't get there regularly.
Same.
Yeah, seriously. I think the big ones, I guess the big things we're going to be looking for this year, I'm definitely going to go, we're going to get in the woods looking for chanterelles.
I'm definitely going to be doing that.
Well, and I think we're looking for, we're probably going to try and grab some yopon, and we're probably going to try and grab
Wade's, like summer yopon summer tea blend was fucking incredible this past year.
Oh yeah, dude. Yopon so will light good. You up.
Yeah. We really like yopon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yopon's really good. It's really cool when you get it fresh too, and you don't like roast it, cause it's got like a completely different vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like to try that.
But
I did find a new sumac grove up here near where I'm living now in north of Nashville. So yeah, I mean, obviously I love my sumac. It's just so good. The sumac lemonade and shrubs and vinegars and stuff is just so cool. Like it's such a simple
sumac
thing.
Sounds fire.
Yeah. Love
yeah.
That.
It's great.
I've had some before.
It's just super cool. So those are, I think, the things I'm excited about the most. Nice. Like, it's just, I've got like my greatest hits and the things that I know to go look for, you know, I just, like we talked a lot about a lot of the reasons and a lot of the ways that I'm kind of in the space has been, you know, just trying to make sure things are focused. Cause like, you know, me ADD boy, I'll do 1,000 things and wonder why I'm just like miserable. It's like, do less, Alan.
Yeah.
Do fewer things. Like, what's it? Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec says, like, don't half ass multiple things.
Yeah.
Whole ass one thing.
There you go.
So that's my thing. I'm just trying to focus and niche down. And like, you know, if I'm going, especially, you know, this is just like a stewardship thing too. It's like, if I'm going to go in the woods and I'm going to take things out, I got to have a good plan for them.
Sure.
I got to make sure I know what I'm doing with them. Be like, cool, I want to get these. I don't want these to just sit in the freaking cooler or on my shelf for a year.
Absolutely.
You know, I want, or two, you know, it's like, I want to feed these to people. I want to give these to people so they can go and do things. You know, I want to get it out there. You know, and pass that energy along, because that's the most important thing, is sharing the stuff, not just hoarding it all.
Because oh, yeah, brother.
Being a hoarder is not it. Don't be a hoarder. I have this old chef who, like, when I first started being the food waste guy, I would always ferment all these things. Like, Alan, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. He's like, no, don't be a hoarder, Alan. Stop it. So yeah, shout out to Chef John. He's Brad for just kind of being my food waste conscience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have anything you're looking forward to foraging next?
No, man, this has been great. Oh, that I'm looking forward to foraging?
Yeah,
absolutely
not.
No, I'm just
putting
kidding.
You on the spot.
No, I do. I was actually just thinking, more than just eating. I want to do something cool with ephemerals this year. So I want to take some maybe spring beauties or trout lilies and dry them out and preserve them in acrylic and maybe try to make some jewelry out of them. You know, to try to get some of that shit going on, just because I think they're the best, and it's a shame that we only get to enjoy them for a couple of weeks a year.
Yeah, I like this idea of foraging for art.
Yeah, hell yeah! So that's my next project.
Cool. Personally, I am really looking forward to stinging nettles.
Yeah,
they are chock full of vitamins and all sorts of stuff. My wife is super pregnant, and I'm just kind of like itching for these nettles to come up. I just want to eat a ton and feed a bunch to her.
Sure.
So, dude, nettles, I got nettles on the mind heavy, man. I'm going to nettle down this year. In fact, I've been thinking of doing, I realized that there's like a world nettle eating competition in the United Kingdom or England.
Oh, we did see that last year,
because
right?
We talked about it during our nettle episode, but there isn't a day for nettle appreciation. There's just like the world competition day. And then it was like, well, I want to do like a nettle day where it's like, we just raise awareness of stinging nettles and how, like, even though they're kind of a pain in the ass on your legs, they're like delicious and super valuable as a food.
Sure.
And as a textile product. I mean, they're just like so freaking cool as a plant.
Wait, okay, so textiles. Tell me about that. I've never heard of that.
Textiles.
Like stinging nettles as a textile.
Oh, yeah. So they have tons of fibers naturally in them. Sorry, my headphone dropped out. I couldn't hear. They have tons of fibers. There's even there's a really, really, really cool Facebook group for anybody that's still using that archaic program. You can go to Nettles for Textiles. It's a group on Facebook, and it is the coolest shit. I mean, it's I have several garments made out of stinging nettle. I have a few shirts. I have a pair of pants that are completely made out of 100% stinging nettle fiber. So there's a way that you can
destingify them.
Yeah, well, you destingify them. You extract the thread. Yeah, I'm wearing like super itchy freaking clothes, man. It's wild.
He's just like constantly in pain.
Just constantly like, oh. No, so most of the fibers are in the stalks, and then they extract the fibers out of that and then tease it out into smaller. And then there's like this whole weaving process. And basically they turn it into a, you know, a thread that you would, a textile thread.
That's badass.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's super freaking cool. And they're delicious. So, yeah, as previously mentioned, they are just stupid tasty. Just steamed for 5 minutes. That denatures the sting. And then you salt them and oil them and bada bing, bada boom.
Sounds lovely.
That sounds so good. I'm trying to think of the first time I had stinging nettles. It was like a long time ago. I've only ever had them like twice. And they're so yummy.
Yeah, my body is so ready.
Let's go.
Right and around the ramps. Corner.
And for ramps.
Yes.
Some ramps.
So we will be bringing our ramp sauce. So the persimmon spice bush hot sauce is the one that we have now. We are completely sold out of the ramp hot sauce. We had a fermented ramp medium heat hot sauce that was made with, I can't remember what peppers, but
manna from heaven. That sauce is so good.
Yeah, it was a really, really awesome.
Are we going to run it again?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. We sold out like really quickly within a couple months. That allowed us to do the persimmon hot sauce. We're still waiting. We're working on getting a little bit more sales on that, but we might also come out with a new t-shirt collab with Fermented Forest from Wade Fox, his Thayer design.
Yeah.
We got permission to use, so we're going to do some t-shirts.
That sounds cool. Slinging with the sauce, baby. Love it.
Yeah, man, we like it, and it's really fun. The goal is to have a 4-pack, all 4 seasons. So we have one for spring, we have one for fall. We still have to develop or come up with an ingredient or a recipe for summer and winter, but we're not sure if that's on the docket for this year or not. We'll see.
Word. Well, that sounds super cool, guys. I'm really, man, I want to talk to you just about ramps, man. If you can help me get ramps.
Oh, yeah.
I can sling some ramps.
Doesn't Wade know some spots?
We know some. I mean, if you're going them, I will get as many ramp people as I can in my belt.
yeah, we got you, man, for sure.
Oh, we're lucky up here. We're swimming in them. Not everywhere is so fortunate, but we got lots. We got ramps.
Yeah, it's hit or miss down here in the low country. It's like I don't know any places nearby. There's a few in Nashville, and Wade's got a few spots, but like nothing that's like. We're not swimming in them. It's more of a special treat when we find them around here. And most of the ones that like chefs get and that I've gotten for chefs have come from like up your way into like the Midwest. Just better climate, it seems.
It is, yeah. Well, and it's also a lack of pre-standing culture too. You know, there's not so many people that know about them or collect them. So, yeah. But with that, Alan, I think we'll draw this really, really awesome conversation to a close.
Yeah, of course, guys. I love this. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Same, man. We had a blast. Shout out to Wade, Fox Among Bears, for drawing the connections and for throwing the show out on the Fermenters group chat. That's how we got a lot of our recent cool guests. You being top of the list, baby. This is awesome. Love talking to you, man.
Yeah, dude, this is great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll have to stay in touch, and we'll message about doing maybe a sauce trade.
Yeah, sauce trade. I mean, honestly, I love making things up, so we could collab in any way. I love that type of stuff. If it's a win-win and it puts everybody on and we make cool, delicious things, I'm here for it.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll be in touch for sure. Thanks.
Sweet. Thanks, guys.
See you soon.
Bye. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Alan underscore the underscore fun underscore
guy.
Yeah, he rolled.
Oh, man. That guy's fucking awesome. So many cool people in this Fermentors group.
Yeah, seriously.
So many very intelligent, very just impactful people. So
yeah, the way that some of these fermenters can talk about koji and fermentation just like nonchalantly. Yeah. They're like, yeah, so I just fermented it in the salt brine and then added koji to it and then dehydrated it and used it for something else. It was like
74-year Maillard reaction in 6.5 hours. You know, like, it's just, you guys are the fucking shit, man.
Yeah,
like,
we're so lucky. Yeah.
What a world. What a
so
world.
Cool. Yeah, we did. I mean, there's, I'm sure we could go on and on with him. There's so much to talk about with the food waste. And, you know, I didn't even get to some of the most interesting stuff that I'd seen from him, which I think maybe, I don't know if I mentioned in the beginning or if it was before we started recording.
What's that?
Where he was, he's like fermenting the mushrooms. He'd get like a ton of them and then like add a salt to them and then just like he's like extracting the liquid and then cooking them down in the liquid afterwards and then dehydrate. Maybe that's what he was saying.
I think that's the umami sauce
still,
but like the maize stuff that he's involved in, like the fucking like ancient corn grains and shit like that. I've you know been on his Instagram just watching videos and trying to figure out how I can get some of that, you know.
Yeah. Literally.
But he did like a pozole event and they used all their own shit and it looked so fucking good. It's awesome to have him on and to, you know, get our foot in the door with him because like I feel like he could be a regular guest. Like he's just so cool.
For sure. Very informative. Excellent personality.
Yeah.
Can't wait to go and ruin his Colorado event by like crashing the Colorado. Yeah.
Sounds good.
No, we'll see. Yeah, that's a little unlikely, but we can dream, man.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
May
but like
is so close. I didn't realize. Close. Like,
yeah.
I'd love to go, me but too. Babies, you know,
babies.
Shit.
Yeah. Yep.
What can you do? Yeah. Got a lot going on.
Thank you.
Yeah, all thanks of for our listening. Listeners. Buy our hot sauce. Check out the persimmon spice wish if you haven't already. Yeah. It's hot, but it's not like overwhelming. It mixes well with
it's
food
so good.
And still lets you know it's there, tangy, delicious. Be on the lookout for some new merch we got coming soon.
Yes, sir.
Like I kind of I gave you guys a little sneak peek in this episode, but yeah, there's a really fun design. If you're a metal music fan, if you like Slayer, and then you like foraging. We got you. We got a really fun...
Our Lord and Savior Samuel.
Samuel Savior. And yeah, Wade came up with a really awesome design, and we're gonna hook it up because I work for...
Somebody has to.
Somebody's got to do it, and I can.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Review us. Buy our merch.
Tag us and
tag
things.
Us
and that's
things.
My favorite thing is when I like people tag us like at Wild Edible World or same. At Stevie Cantu or at Edible _ Illinois. Is it _?
Edible _ Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
when people are like, oh, just, I mean, we just love seeing the merch out in the wild. Honestly, if it's just a picture of your water bottle and you're like staying hydrated with Wild Edible World, like we love seeing that stuff so much.
Me
we
too.
Try to give out a lot of these stickers for free. And so if you have them or if you've bought some merch and I threw some stickers in there because I always be doing that, show us where you put it, man. Let's tag us on some social medias. We love hearing from you guys and interacting with our listeners. You're probably... What do I say? About 60% of what makes this show so great is that we have such cool listeners and people to interact with and people that care about this show and care about foraging, and we're just about it.
We are.
Anyway, love you again. Miss you.
Miss you.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit...
You're
welcome
a scrum-
to the club.
You're welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com.
Wowie, wow.